Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us.
You know, I'm thinking about the statement, what's the point? You know, what is the point? It's important. It's amazing how many people live their life and never ask themselves that question. What's the point? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's like, have you ever even pondered the idea? I mean, you ever cry? You're just like, and they're like, well, no, it's what somebody else did. So I just started doing it. And what is it? We don't really know what it is, but we're just doing it. And, you know,
it's always been this way.
It's always been this way. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? You know, and I think about there's three types of folks. And I want to be able to talk about it because it's kind of just really the question we need to ask ourselves, which one are we? Which one do we want to be? There's a first type of person who, you know, and we're talking about people who profess to be believers, that they are a person that are more like hearers. They're like hearers, like hearing with your ears. It makes me think about James chapter 1. I mean, they're such good hearers. They're such good hearers that they even dress up. They dress up with some of the most expensive clothes they have, and they build buildings and with nice, comfortable seating to be able to show up, to sit there, and be very attentive to hear what's being taught, to hear a preaching, a message. Mm-hmm. And they're such good hearers, and they're so dedicated that they even prepare for next week. They're planning on coming back to the same place with different expensive clothes on to hear again. And they're so dedicated, they will even sit there and hear you out for 10 or 20 years. They're not planning on doing anything with it, but they are hearers. I mean, they'll go, I like the rhythmic parts of that. And, you know, you're a front loader and you're a downloader, how you brought that thing in here. And man, that was just, oh my goodness. I heard that. You know what? I'm so moved and touched. I'm going to come next week and I'm going to hear it again. I just can't wait to hear you. And it's like, what's the point? It makes me think of James. James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely hear or listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Why do you think that man or woman of God is pouring their heart out? You want to encourage them? After you hear it, do it. I'm trying to think of a way to have Pastor's Appreciation Day. Do what they've been teaching you for 10 years, right? He says, this is what he says. He says, James says, do not merely listen or hear the word and so deceive yourself. And right now in America, you have to admit, there's a lot of hearers. I mean, they are dedicated hearers. They'll build huge edifices, huge buildings and organizations just to hear. And what's interesting thing that those who are teaching them don't even ask this question here. What's the point? What's the point? You know, I'm not an entertainer. I'm trying to teach you what to do. Oh, we hear you. Right, we hear you. And he says, and he says, do what they say. In verse 23, he says, anyone who hears or listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, hearers are like, well, that was great. Wasn't that wonderful? I like your dress. That's a nice suit. Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear the band? Did you hear? Oh, it was just wonderful. And by the time you get to the car, gets to the car, all they can think about is the ball game. And if somebody held a gun to their head, they couldn't tell you one thing they heard.
Nope.
Because that's not their point. Their point was, I just wanted to hear it, and then I want to leave it, and I will hear you again next week. I am a loyal hearer, deceived in all I do. But then there's another one. No, it makes me even think about this. It makes me think about in the hearers. It makes me think about James chapter 2 verse 14. He says, "What good is it?" He's like, "What is the point?" James is saying. He said, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds?" What's he saying? If you hear it, but you don't do it. Can such faith save him? Can hearers be saved? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well. I've heard that you had problems. Keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical condition, what good is this? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by doing something, by action, it's dead. So what does that mean? It means if you're a hearer, and listen, I understand you may have been around hearers for some time now, and it's amazing how much money they put into hearing, and it kind of makes you think, like, it's got to be right. I mean, they're putting so much money into this whole thing, and they do say amen, and they do, and the one who teaches doesn't even mind if they don't do it, and so maybe we're just supposed to hear. And then I get in trouble if I start doing it because they think I'm competing against them. And mm-hmm. So I think maybe I'm just supposed to hear. I don't know what it is. Deceived. That's what it is. That's what he says. Then you have the do. The doers. I'm just a doer, you know. The doers. You know, you go to all the people are concerned about is just doing something. The social justice movement, just doing something. You know, you know, the people don't care about you. They just want to know what you do. You go to a meeting of people who are into doing and not into faith doing, but they're into doing. They just go, call them pancake breakfasts or whatever. They go, "Hey, how's things going?" Good. "What you doing?" "What do you do?" And the one says, "What are you doing?" "What'd you do?" "Oh, you're doing that? I'm doing this." It's like, this is a doo-doo meeting. That's all we're talking about. I'm dying and you don't care. You just want to know what I'm doing.
All right.
And you walk in feeling like doo-doo and you leave feeling with a bigger pile of doo-doo. Right? It's like, yeah. You don't even care that your brother is dying. All you want to know is his do. And then, you know, a do meeting is people who are concerned about losing their value in men's eyes, because if your pile of do-do is not bigger than their pile of do, then they feel less valuable. Paul said, "I consider it all do-do." I consider it all dung. And James talks about this when he starts talking in his word. He says, listen, you got to be a doer. You got to be a hearer and a doer. But there's people that just say, "I don't have time to hear the word. I don't have time to go sit with a fellowship and hear the taught word of God. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm part of the 81% that read my Bible, but I'm doing me and I am doing." Look at my t-shirt. Have you seen my bumper sticker? You know, I am a doer. I am a doer, not a hearer, just a doer. And then you have one other type of person. Hoodoo. Don't tell me there's not no hoodoo going on. Hoodoo has always happened since day one. And these are people who think they are what they do. They are their gift. I call it hoodoo. You know, if they didn't have their gift, they wouldn't know who they were. And so the hearers have no problem with hoodoo because it gives them something to hear. And the hoodoos really like to hear hearers because they have somebody to hear their hoodoo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the do-doers don't even know this is going on because they're not planning on hearing in the first place. And they might have a gift of prophecy. They might have a gift of administration. They may have a gift of giving or whatever it is, but they just, that's their gift. That's what they do. Miracles, tongues. But hoodoo, total hoodoo. But it makes me think of what Jesus said about hoodoo. It's in Matthew chapter 7. He was talking about these guys. He says, In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, the difficulty with the hearer, they're not planning on doing. So they actually heard what they're supposed to do, but they're not going to do it. The problem with the doer is they're doing what they think is right, but not the will of the Father. Now, the difficulty with the hoodoo is they're actually being worshiped. They're actually wanting, they like the adoration and all that's being given, because people, they are what they do. Preacher, teacher, whatever it is. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, listen, in verse 20, 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? Don't you know who I am? I'm the one that sang that song where everybody was teared in their eye and they gave me an offering or went and bought me some stuff. Don't you remember who I am?
All right.
Look at my ring. Look at my watch. Look at my car, Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
He said, many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. What does that mean? They use their gifts. And so many people think because you have a gift and it works when you use it, since it's right, you're right. But it was the name of Jesus that caused that to be right. This is what Jesus says to them. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There's so much hoodoo going on. There is more here going on. A social justice movement would be like a do. When your brother's dying, when your sister's dying, and you come together to encourage each other, and all you talk about is what are you doing? You're in to do. But there's another people. And these are the people God's looking for. And these are the ones that are not deceived. These are the ones that are not going to be confronted at the throne room of God and say, listen, you know, away from me, you evildoers. Think about it, you evildoers, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are people who hear the word of God and they do what it says. I mean, you think about it. He says in James chapter 1, verse 25, he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. Think about it. I hear, you want to be blessed? Do what you heard.
Yeah.
Do what you read. Do what you heard in your abiding time. And he goes on to say in James chapter 2 and verse 18, when he just got to talk about faith without works or deeds or doing is dead, just because you heard it don't mean you're right. You're going to have to do what you heard. In verse 18, James 2, 18, he says, but someone would say, you have faith, I have works, I have deeds, I have doing. He says, show me your faith without works or doing, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without doing? Do you want evidence that just hearing and doing and hoodoo is wrong? He said, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions, his doing, his hearing what God said, his doing what God said, were working together. And by this, his faith was made complete by what he did. Listen, are you incomplete? If you are a hearer, if you are a doer, you know, you got a lot of cards, business cards that talk about what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a hoodooer, I mean, you're booking engagements based on your gift when your life's falling apart. I got good news for you. Your faith can be complete. You can be like the father of faith. You can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can be a part of the kingdom of God. You do this by one simple thing. You hear what God says. Abide with him. Hear his word. Hide his word in your heart and do what he says. And he says, when you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Relationships can unravel amid conflict and bitterness and hurtful words. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's psychologist Dr. David Clark offering his perspectives on why we so often fall short in our relationships.
We see 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. No one can do that without God's help. It's impossible. Ephesians 5, try Ephesians 5, where you love your wife as Christ loved the church and as you love your own body. Humanly speaking, can't do it. I tried for some years to do it on my own. I simply couldn't get it done. That was part of our journey of Sandy and I finding the spiritual bond. All of a sudden, I'm not loving Sandy. God's loving Sandy through me. Hey, that works like a charm. I can do that.
Your marriage isn't all about you trying to love your spouse. It's really a matter of God loving your spouse through you. And you'll find additional insights and trusted resources to help you do that at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this onto this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
Oh my goodness, listen. Man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I don't know if you guys heard this. The Blaze is reporting that Glenn Beck was having an interview with Jim Rogers about farming. And I had no idea, but they're saying that farming now is basically becoming a lost art. They said nobody wants to farm anymore. And they were talking about the average age of farmers in America. You know, the average age of a farmer is only 58 years old. It's like, wait a minute, what is going
on?
58. 50 is the average age. And in Japan, it's 66. In Canada, it's as well really high. And in Australia, it's 58. And somebody's got to work these fields. And what they don't understand is that although that there's such a lack of interest in farming, the farm values are going up. And it's still, you know, obviously there's a lot of profit still involved in farming. People are making a lot of money, but there's no interest. And one of the things that Jim Rogers, this investor, was talking about, he was saying that these days, the students right now in college, they want to go out and get MBAs. And he's telling them, you need to get into study agriculture. You need to get in there and learn about this farming because that's where the money's going
to
be at.
You need to get a FARM, not a MBA. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. They said in the next 10 to 20 years, you're going to see it just absolutely explode. And I just think about some of the prophecies that we have heard about, roads being broken up, streets being digged up, be able to plant gardens.
Yeah, it was John Paul Jackson's word in Preparing for the Storm. The headlines, and this is how God spoke to him at that time. And you can see it at VFNTV.com. Scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see a banner called The Storm, and it has all the information that you need on this. It's very important. It's the coming storm.
Yeah.
And one of the headlines was, in the inner city, they're digging streets up to be able to plant gardens. And it's you always wonder what it was like, you know, up until the time when you're starting to see these things happen. And it's like, I see what it's like. Nobody's paying attention. Oh my goodness. Because you could pay attention and turn, you know, you could pay attention like Nineveh did. And
what
listen.
Were the warning signs? What were the warning signs?
Yeah, and a warning is saying, hey, you know, don't go that way. You know, turn back to God.
Yeah.
And it's happening so rapidly. The encouraging thing is there's about to be a move of God.
Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether religion likes it or not, there is about to be a major move of God. They're talking about, and I don't mean to interrupt you right there, but they're saying that a major issue now with the millennials, that 84% of them are I think it's 84%. They have a thing called, not 84%, digital addiction is a new phenomenon that psychiatrists are actually diagnosing teens with and young adults with, where they're spending 60 hours a week engaged in some kind of media. And it's having this long-term effect, you know, where we're at. So imagine that shutting down like you're talking about, and all of a sudden, you know, 60 hours of their life is now, what do you do? That's the only life I knew was this virtual life.
And not wanting to learn anything. I mean, we talked about this right after the Super Bowl on BFN Radio about the commercial that was played with Paul Harvey about the farmer.
And, oh, yeah.
And this is amazing. All the hard work that's being done. And it's like, you know, no, I don't want to work a farm. I think I'd rather own a farm. But it was like the chances are that they did statistics. I don't have the number. How many people graduating now from college are even going to be able to find employment, much less an MBA, and the cost of college right now? And it's like, you know what? We need to learn some practical things like garden, you know what I'm saying? How to feed ourselves. I know Pat had an adventure with building a garden. Not as easy, was it?
No, it's not at all.
Yeah, that I remember that history lesson.
Yeah, that was rough.
Well, you know,
I learned a lot, though.
Well, one of the things that Pat's wife, Tracy's grandfather, God showed him very specifically what it's going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And it's going to, it's going to get to the point. There's just, you got to understand, if everybody, and notice when on this cruise ship, for example, it was 44,000 plus people on it. There was limited space, limited food, limited utilities. And so at some point, you know, their ability to get something to eat or whatever stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now imagine your city or your county or whatever. And how many deer do you see running down your street that you can eat? How many cows did you see, you know, in your county? Pretty much they're regional, where you have parts of America that raise the cattle, that milk the cows, that have these different, you know, they say that the food that you eat that's on your table, I think, was prepared within 300 miles. It came from around 300 miles or something of your home. Well, you're not going to be able to get to those 300 miles away during a time like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you run out. And that's what Barkley was shown, was that he was teaching his family how to hunt and fish, but they ran out. It quickly ran out of anything to hunt for.
Wow.
And with the regulations coming on, I mean, you look where they're looking, trying to regulate how we can fish and what we would break the law if we were fishing. It's like, oh, this is amazing, you know, what's taking place. And I think about that tribute, you're talking about the farmer. Let's listen right now to Paul Harvey and what John's talking about. We'll be right back.
Well, he talked about something about, you know, there was a time that you didn't have a drill. Uh-huh. And you actually, you know, screw the thing in with your hand, you know, with the fill-up. You twisted the screw with the nut.
Yeah, those were awful days.
Yeah, well, you did it with your hand and muscles. And I think about all the people that work so hard, man. They work so hard in our nation to build it the way they have. And
that's right.
And listen to that commercial. We're gonna play a commercial here for you. And we're going to apologize for the sound in advance because it's not the best quality of sound. But we really want you to listen to the words. This is Paul Harvey. And Pat's a little bit more familiar with Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
And he kind of does this little talk about the farmer. And,
yeah.
Tell us about Paul. Who's Paul Harvey?
Yeah, he was a conservative radio host. He's been around for years and years and years. And he passed away, I think, back in 2009. But prior to that, I got introduced to him through my grandmother. She would listen to him on the radio all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he'd go through these long, like, stories. And they were really, you know, just intriguing. And
right.
then his famous line was, "Now let's hear the rest of the story." So he just like this cliffhanger, you know, you talk about this person, you know, and
yeah.
all these things that they did or whatever. And then you find out who it actually was. You're just like blown away. Like, no, get out. Really? You know, so it was just he's famous for that. You probably well, search him online. I'm sure you could probably listen to tons of his stories. But yeah, they were powerful.
Wow. Well, he has a great voice. And this is actually a Rams commercial, right?
Yeah.
That
a Dodge Ram car commercial. Yeah.
Okay. Truck commercial. I want you to listen up and listen to what he has to say about the American farmer. Listen up.
"And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, 'I need a caretaker.' So God made a farmer. God said, 'I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board.' So God made a farmer. God said, 'I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then paying in from tractor back, put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer."
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers. And so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. Mm. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. Mm. He loves to deceive people, but I think in a lot of ways he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow, how powerful is that?
Wow, that was amazing.
How powerful is that? We're going to make this available for you to watch on the torch. It's actually a commercial.
Yeah.
And the pictures are just so moving.
It is so amazing. And you think about without the farm and where things are coming from. How far away, if like we sit down and have a meal in our home, we don't realize the food doesn't really come from our particular community. Where does it come from? How far away?
It's estimated that it travels 1,500 miles to get from where it needs to get to, from farm to plate, basically. From
1,500 miles, which means this is like the Lord showed Mr. Barkley that we're not going to have that food in our immediate area to be able to access it. And you can, you hunt your land out so quick. I mean, this cruise, and this is a meteor's flying over. You got this huge things happening. You have 4,000 people that stuck without utilities, water, and all that, and how quickly this thing just kind of come to a grind. It just stops. And then disease begins to happen. And they did say, by the way, as you were talking about, there were some people on there that got really angry about.
Oh, really? I can imagine.
Yeah, and they were really upset. And they said, you know, a typical American traveler. And so the reporter goes, what does that mean? You know, things like, my coffee's not hot.
Demanding stuff, huh?
Yeah, demanding stuff at times that are real difficult. I mean, that's what they said, unquote, you know, reportedly.
All right. I was thinking about, and I was reading this, now I want to look up the scripture here for a second, but I was reading about there was a famine in the land, and the Israelites, and they had to go during Egypt, and they were going to get grain. Pat, you and I were talking about this the other day. They were selling, so they go and they're trying to get grain from Egypt, and so they say, okay, sell us some grain, so they give them the money. And then they come back and they say, we're starving. Take our livestock, and we'll give you livestock. You give us a grain. They're like, okay, we'll give you the grain. Give us the livestock, give you the grain. So they go back for a period of time. Then they come back again and says, we are still starving. We need grain. And the people come up with, just take our land, take all we have and make us servants. We'll be servants. Just give us food. And I said, okay, we'll take your land, we'll make you servants, and we'll feed you. And it's like, oh my goodness, there's a progression where even if you had the money, money's not gonna, if you know, if everything stops, it's not gonna last forever. So then you begin to barter. Okay, we give you a couple of this for a couple of some corn. But what happens when you can't barter? You know, we have to have a dependency upon the Lord. And we can't be prideful to say that we can't have a famine. I mean, look at all the drought that was occurring just this last summer alone.
Well, it looks like if somebody 1,500 miles away had a famine, and we never did, we wouldn't eat. Because if the food comes from 1,500 miles away, if all of a sudden, if the valleys in California or the fields in Nebraska or whatever were being hit, I mean, everybody's going to, if the breadbasket's experiencing difficulty, the world's experiencing difficulty. Now, the scripture that comes to mind to me is that when God begins to explain to Solomon, this is how things work, son. This is how it works. Everything's good right now, but let me tell you how it works. He said, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, he says, listen, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain. This is God talking. This is, nothing's happened yet. It's like, why are you talking discipline? Let me tell you how things work. Let me tell you how things work now. So you can prevent this from happening. He says, but when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, God going, go devour the land. He's like, where did these loci come from, right? Right. And send a plague amongst my people. I think about the influenza that came through the world and came through America. As mysteriously as it came, it left. And hundreds of thousands, I believe 40 million in the earth, I believe, that died from that one mysterious one. He says, if this happens, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And so these things that we're seeing now, if we turn now, it could stop this. Like Nineveh, stopped it. And so we can respond now before these things come to pass.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does too.
And I think Chris does too. He's shaking
over
there.
We got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak.
Greg Lancaster.
Come to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program.
We're on.
Hello. How are you?
I'm sorry. We were waiting for John to get here from his condo. Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I didn't have anything on my ears right here.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
As you can tell, that we're just the everyday carrying on how it works.
There
if you missed our earlier programs, you got to hear as children and young people and dreams and visions and things that are going on, because he says, you know, hear what my Spirit says to the churches. And that's called retribution. That's called retribution.
Okay.
Everything kind of works out in the end. And they're not even widening the shot so you can see him crawling around. Okay.
Wow.
Well, anyway, so, oh, now he's back.
Hello.
Do we need amulets? Do we need amulets?
We're good.
Amulets.
You heard that, Lord. Amulets, lightling.
Germany tournament crickets.
It's over.
And so
lightling,
I was focusing.
Wrestling. We got a bunch of these. We got to write these down.
That's good.
Just so you know, if you ever hear the word, how do you say it?
Wrestling?
Yes. It really means wrestling.
Okay.
That's the interpretation.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're just talking about, right there, Secretary of State, Congressman Michelle Bachmann is talking about how that we've been infiltrated, our government's been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Islam. They're purging everything to do through the FBI libraries, anything to do about radical Islam, just removing everything. And our representative government's shouting out there. And the question is, are we going to stand up for them? But we need to, you know, one thing we need to do, we need to find out, you know, what is the comparison? If you put the Quran, which is Muhammad's writings that he says he heard from God, he says Jesus, they do acknowledge Jesus, but they acknowledge him as a prophet, not the Son of God, that Jesus has to come back according to the Quran and repent for calling himself the Son of God. And then he will be the assistant to their God. You know, it's like, hello, you know,
wow.
And look at they're just dead set on destroying. They're destroying the Jews and the Christians. And it's like, why is that? It's amazing what's taking place. So let's compare right now on the VFN TV blog. You can go to the VFN TV blog. And as you're hearing this, you can see it. We have it on a video for you, so you can say, okay, there's the Quran, there's the Bible. Here's the Quran, here's the Bible. You go to VFNTV.com, you click on it, but listen up.
In a plot twist so strange, it's hard to believe, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all trace their lineage to the same man, Abraham, and their physical roots to the same place, Jerusalem. The religions believe in many of the same prophets, and even the basic framework of many key prophecies.
Obviously you had Abraham, who's the father of Isaac and Ishmael. Now on Isaac's side, he was the father of Jacob, who became Israel, and obviously that's the father of the Jewish faith. And then on the other side you had Ishmael, and then you also had Edom, or Esau, and it was out of those individuals on that side of the Abrahamic family that many of the Middle Eastern nationalities derive from. Now, Muhammad, the founder of Islam, claims to have been a direct descendant 2,600 years after Ishmael.
It's interesting because we all share that common rootage. As a matter of fact, there is an exhibit at the New York Public Library called The Three Faiths, and three faiths all beginning with Abraham, so to speak.
Jews, Christians, Muslims all point to Jerusalem as the epicenter
of their faith, and they all believe that that is where all history will wind up, in part because Abraham was touched by God there, was spoken to and communicated with God there.
All the three major religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, believe in the return or in the coming of a Messiah that is going to bring peace, where peace is going to reign supreme on earth.
But who the Messiah is and how that peace is achieved is very much in dispute. The Jewish faith believes the Messiah will be human and will oversee a period of great transformation on earth.
There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be the return of justice. There will be true peace amongst all peoples. The rebuilding of the temple will take place. Now, there are those who take a bit of a different stance and say, well, it's going to happen through human development, not necessarily in the hands of one person, but collectively it will take place.
The messianic beliefs of Christians and Muslims represent a sort of anti-parallel. Similar stories told from very different perspectives with very different outcomes.
I think of it as a photographic negative of each other.
Christians believe the returning Messiah will be Jesus Christ. Islam's savior is the Mahdi, who will emerge as the Pope, President, and General of the world.
According to the Bible, the Antichrist revives an empire. According to Islamic end time view, the Mahdi revives an Islamic empire.
In the Bible, the Old Testament prophet Daniel says the Antichrist will set up his seat of authority on the Temple Mount in Israel and will actively persecute and martyr Jews as his enemies. Islam teaches the Mahdi will operate from the same Temple Mount in Jerusalem and will cause Jews and other non-believers to either convert to Islam or die.
On the biblical side, the Antichrist will specifically use the method of beheading to martyr his enemies, to destroy his enemies. On the Islamic side, it's within the Quran that says, strike the necks of the unbelievers. Some translations actually say, behead the unbelievers.
Revelation 13 says, the Antichrist will have an assistant, a false prophet. It refers to him as a dragon in the clothing of a ram or a lamb.
On the Islamic side, Muslims believe that Jesus returns. Again, they call him Isa al-Masih. He comes back as an assistant to the Mahdi. And he tells all of the Christians of the world, your Bible is corrupt. I never claimed to be the Son of God. I never died on the cross. The Christian religion is false. Islam is the true religion, and you need to follow the Mahdi.
The biblical Antichrist will reign for 7 years. The Mahdi, 7 years. Both religions talk about a mark of the beast. Christians believe it will be put on the forehead, wrist, or forearm of those who follow the Antichrist. Only those with the mark will be allowed to buy or sell goods. The Bible teaches that anyone taking the mark will ultimately be cast into hell.
Muslims have borrowed this concept of the mark of the beast. Muslims actually teach this individual known as the Dabat al-Ard. He is the beast of the earth that comes up out of the earth. They believe he will be a literal beast, and it says that he will mark the foreheads of all true Muslim believers. So on the Islamic side, Muslims are actually hoping to be marked with the mark of the beast.
The Islamic faith also believes in an Antichrist figure called Ad-Dajjal al-Masih. It refers to him as the false Jewish Messiah or Jewish king who returns claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And the anti-parallel continues.
So when you look at Revelation 19, this is really the quintessential picture of the return of Jesus in the Bible. He burst forth from heaven on a white horse. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then it says the kings of the earth gather together to make war against him. And you ask yourself, you say, what in the world are they thinking? This supernatural man just burst forth from heaven, and they think they can defeat him. Well, when you understand Islamic eschatology, you understand these kings will actually believe that Jesus is the Dajjal, the Antichrist, and they will believe that it is their divine destiny to kill him.
Richardson believes the Muslim people have been set up by their own belief system to fulfill the prophecies of the Bible, believing they are following their Savior, when in fact, they'll be following the biblical Antichrist.
These two guys were walking down this dirt road. They're walking down this dirt road, and they kept hearing this dog just howling, like, "Arr!" I can't do that. Can you do it?
Mm-mm. No.
Try it. Let's see.
Do it? No.
Ow.
See,
like your dog
doesn't come out. My dog has a real bark. He's a Doberman.
That other thing.
He's a Doberman.
That mop looking thing.
That's not my dog.
Oh my goodness. Anyway,
I wouldn't claim him either.
Anyway, so
wait, nobody's claiming him right now.
So they're walking down this dirt road and they start hearing this dog howl, just you know, carrying on, and they just keep talking and walking a little bit more, and then all of a sudden, finally, this guy looks at his friend and he says, you know, "What is that? What is that noise?" He goes, "Oh, that's my dog." He goes, "It's your dog?" He goes, "Yeah, he's on the front porch of the house." He's like, "Oh, what's wrong with him? I mean, my goodness." He goes, you know, kind of shaking his head in disgust. He's like, "He's laying on a nail." It's like, his friend's like, "What? He's laying on a nail." You know, oh, he's like, "Well, why doesn't your dog just move?" And he shakes his head and he says, "I know." He said, "It just doesn't hurt bad enough yet."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I've heard so many Cecils. You know, it's just like, "Oh," and it's like, "Dude, you're laying on a nail." Mm. Every decision you make is causing pain in your life, pain in your relationship, pain in your country, pain in your community. And you're howling. I mean, you probably have friends that y'all just howl to the moon every night. And God just shakes his head. Mm. Somebody says, "What is that?" And then Shane shakes his head. It's like, "They're just laying on a nail."
Mm.
And the question is, why won't you move? Because it ain't hurting bad enough yet.
Mm.
And just because it causes you discomfort, it obviously is not hurting bad enough to cause you to make a decision. And minimum force necessary is the tools of our Father. That he says, consider hardship as disciplining. Discipline. I'm treating you as a son. And so if a verbal, sweet whisper of the Holy Spirit says, "Don't do that," if that doesn't work, the next thing is, "Don't do it." And if that doesn't work, knock it off. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, then he has somebody come to you and tells you what, I mean, it's just mm-hmm. progressively minimum mm-hmm. force necessary. And then as it builds, and if you stay, you know, keep howling, and you're embarrassing your father, by the way. I mean, you're laying on a nail. Mm. You're laying on a nail. At least shut up. You know, if you're not going to get out of the sin, quit complaining about it.
That's right.
It's consequences. And it's like, so here all of a sudden, you know, it will get serious. It will get so serious to all of a sudden, the Father God loves you so much that he will take you to the woodshed.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be the same again.
No, you won't.
You will not be the same again. But guess what? You won't howl anymore.
Right. We'll take care of that.
You won't howl anymore. Speaking of that, and so the question is, does it hurt bad enough yet?
Mm.
Because right now, you know, we're looking, we're like, "Let's do this thing." And you're looking around, and I mean, you can hear the howling in the woods. You can hear the howling on, you know, radio. You can hear the howling on Facebook. You can hear the howling everywhere. But you don't see the feet moving yet. Everybody's Mm-mm. still laying on the nail.
Mm-mm.
They're still laying on the nail. You have this. America is a government by the people and for the people. God waits on us to obey him before he begins to move. God chooses to work through men. So you have a country that's waiting for you to move and a God that's waiting for you to move. While you're sitting there going, "Oh," it's like, hey, you're going to have to do something. You know, you got to do something. But I remember, speaking of howling dogs, Speaking of howling dogs, Pat and I were in California, and we were we were in California.
Oh my goodness!
We were in California, and we're in the Northern California in the mountains, and on this farm-like place, a funny farm, and and so I saw this dog. And this dog trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong with this dog? And this dog would go, oh, right? Oh, and he would just stress and strain. Oh, you're thinking, I've never seen a dog do this. And he was so intense. He was like, oh, it was real quiet, you know? And finally, I had to ask the dog's owner. I said, what's wrong with your dog? What is wrong with your dog? And they said, well, he said that he was barking so much, we cut his vocal cords out.
Oh, my God.
So the dog's going, oh.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we wanted to keep our vocal cords and keep the voice that God's given us. Right. So we saw like, well, it's nice knowing you. Blessed to see you. Bye. Gotta go. Gotta go. Is this not?
Yeah.
Is this true? Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Finders Keepers, a unique boutique with thrift shop prices where you can find anything from furniture, clothes, jewelry, and so much more. Visit Mary today in Pensacola on Gulf Beach Highway and get you a great find today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.